Romans chapter 3, beginning in verse 9. Paul writes, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have already charged that both Jews and Greeks are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed, and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." So ends the reading of God's Word. May He bless this part of His Word to our understanding this morning. Now we know that in modern medicine that they have developed many different techniques, many different methods of discovering the problems that we have with our bodies. If you doubt that, you can talk to Janet because she's a registered nurse and she's seen how a lot of these processes work. They've developed CAT scans and MRIs and X-rays and various kinds of blood tests, as well as exploratory surgery and other kinds of ways to see what it is that is wrong with you. It's actually quite marvelous. They can look into your body without even opening it up and tell you whether there's something seriously wrong with you. However, having found the problem, these different methods they have to find the problem can't cure the problem, no matter how many times you use them, because that's not their purpose. They're merely diagnostic. They're merely there to point out the problem. Well, you know, Paul tells us the same thing is true of the law. The law of God has the ability to search our hearts and to find something within them called sin, which is a spiritual disease, to show us that we have it, to show us that we are guilty of having broken God's law. It's able to do that actually quite well, as a matter of fact, and even cause that sin, as we'll see in Romans chapter 7, to become alive and to become aroused, as it were, to actually do more damage to us, to show us how evil sin is. But of course, the problem with the law is no matter how many times it's resorted to, no matter how many times you use it, no matter how clearly you can see your sin through it, it is not able to cure you of that sin. It doesn't have the ability. That is not its purpose. Like those diagnostic tests, it is meant to show you the problem in order to send you to the doctor or to the physician. In this case, the spiritual physician of souls, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to cure that problem and is able to give you the power to overcome those sins. Now, Paul, up to this point, has been arguing that all men are guilty before God. He started in Romans chapter 1 to tell us the Gentiles don't have any excuse for their sins. They know God is, and they try to bury that knowledge. They know what God wants, but they continue to practice those sins and even give hearty approval to those who practice them. Paul has said the Jew likewise is also condemned, because he has not only what the Gentiles have, but he also has the law. But having the law, he does not keep it. Now, last week, Paul drew upon the Old Testament scriptures to show us this very thing, that there is no one who does good. There is no one who seeks after God. There is none righteous, he says, not even one. Now, having said all that, this week he begins to draw it all to a conclusion, to begin to show us why it is that he wants us to be fully convinced of our utter helplessness and inability to save ourselves through any code of conduct, through any law, Why He wants to show us our sins, it's so that He might drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in order to do that, we have to understand the Jewish mind. To the Jew, having the law was enough. Having it in their possession, understanding what it meant, they thought somehow the law was able to save them, but far from saving them, the law actually condemns them. Not because there's anything wrong with the law, but because there is something wrong with them. And the point is, again, God didn't give them the law to save them. God gave them the law to show them that they couldn't be saved by the law, so that it might drive them to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what it also must do in our lives. Now, Paul wants to drive all men out of their own righteousness, as I've said, in order to point them to Christ. In order to do this, Paul, first of all, needed to correct the view that the Jews had, that they were saved by the law. Now, we need to understand that that was their position. Listen to what Jesus said to the Jews after He healed the lame man on the Sabbath day. He said this in John 5:39. "You search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about Me." Now again, they thought having the Word of God was enough. They were the children of Abraham, the children of the covenant. They bore the sign of circumcision. They had the law. They were God's chosen few, as it were, His covenant people. They thought that was enough. Remember what Jesus said concerning the Pharisee and the tax collector. Listen again to this story He gives. "Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, 'God, I thank You that I am not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. I fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get.' But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, 'God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted.'" Now, it's interesting the contrast between these two characters. The Pharisee stands for the Jewish nation, who thought that possessing the law and giving some kind of obedience to it made them right in the eyes of God. "God, I thank You that I am not like other people. I observe Your law outwardly. I don't do those wicked kinds of things. And I even do some religious activities that You command and that You enjoy." The law of God did not really have its work within his heart. He thought that he was justified by that law. Somehow he had kept the righteous standard. However, the tax gatherer, realizing what the law really requires and understanding his sins, it's not that he was so much worse than the Pharisee, realized that he had no standing at all before God, but that the law condemned him. And so he asked God, "Be merciful to me, because I am a sinner. More than that, I am the sinner. I am the chief of sinners," as the Apostle Paul says. The Pharisee thought he kept the law, but he didn't. The tax gatherer knew that he didn't, and he pled for God's mercy. Now, Paul wants to do the same thing to the Jews as what happened to that tax gatherer. He wants to take that Pharisee and reduce him to that state, to drive him out of his self-righteousness. Now, the way that he does that is by taking what he said in verses 10 through 18, where he draws upon the Old Testament Scriptures, and now he wants to apply that to the Jew. Notice what he says in verse 19. "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be closed and all the world may be accountable to God." What's he referring to here as far as what the law says? He's referring to what he just quoted from the Old Testament Scriptures. You know, the law of God is sometimes refers to just the Pentateuch, but also in Scripture it's used to refer to the whole Old Testament. It's a case of where they take the most prominent part of the Old Testament, which is the law, And they call the whole of it by that part which is the most important or the most prominent. And so Paul says, listen, I've just quoted to you from the law. You are under the law. And we know that whatever the law speaks, it speaks to those who are under it. And so he says, Jews, this applies to you. And the reason why he brought these things out of the law was so that he might take the law and condemn them with it to shut their mouths, to close the mouth of the Pharisee who stood there boasting before God that he was better than other men, to reduce him to the point where he would say, I'm not even as good as those other people. I'm the chief of sinners. That's what happens when the law of God has its effect. It closes their mouths. It stops up their arguments. Their boasting convicts them as guilty. And in doing this, they would see that they were no better than the rest of the world that also broke that same law. When Stephen was indicting them in Acts chapter 7, verses 51 through 53, that's what he was trying to bring across. He says, you have killed, that is, your fathers killed those who had previously announced the coming of the righteous one, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become, you who receive the law as ordained by angels, but yet did not keep it. And Paul in Galatians 6:13 says the same thing. For those who are circumcised do not even keep the law themselves. The law shows their problem. It shows that they are sinners. It closes their mouths. It stops their arguments. But again, I would remind you that the problem is not with the law. It's not the law's fault. The law is good. But it's their problem. It's their sin. The law was not given to them in order to save them from their sins. The law was given to indict them. Remember what Paul says in verse 20. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. The law was not given to save them. Listen to Galatians 3:21. Is the law then contrary to the promises of God? May it never be. For if a law had been given, which was able to impart life, then righteousness would indeed have been based on law. You see, a law was not given that might impart life. If it had been, Paul says, then that's how you would get law, or life, is through keeping the law. But the law was given to shut everybody up in their sins so that it might drive them to Jesus Christ. Now, we have to remember that theoretically, it would have been possible for a person to be justified by keeping the law, but certain things were necessary. First of all, they would have to be born without sin, which means they could not have Adam's sin. Secondly, they would have had to keep the law perfectly their entire lives. And of course, they would have to do it in such a way that they not only did not do the wrong things, but did everything right at all times and loved God with a pure and whole heart their whole lives. Now that is how the law can justify you. What it would do is it would show that you're just. To be just means that you're one who has done everything right and you've done nothing wrong. And if you had done that, then the law would in fact justify you. But the fact is, you cannot do that. The only person who ever could do that was the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a matter of fact, that is what he did, in order to justify those who would believe in him. He kept the law and was free from sin and loved God with his whole heart, his whole life, so that those who trust in him would be made acceptable to God through his righteousness. But the problem is, we are not perfect. We cannot be saved by the law. The law can never justify us, not because there's something wrong with it, but because there's something wrong with us. We're born with Adam's sin. We do nothing but sin from our childhood up. We have broken the law in many different ways. We do not love God. The law is not going to justify us. Now, I'm talking about apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what we were like. We do have some desire for him now. We love him now. We want to keep his law now. But even our obedience now is still not good enough. We still need the righteous the righteousness of Jesus Christ. God gave the law only for that purpose, to show them their need of a Savior. He says in verse 20, "For through the law comes the knowledge of sin." As I read earlier this morning in Romans 7:7, Paul says, "I would not have come to know sin except through the law, for I would not have known about coveting if the law had not said, 'You shall not covet.'" Remember, Paul says it's not the law's fault. "So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy and righteous and good. Therefore did that which is good become a cause of death for me? May it never be. Rather, it was sin, in order that it might be shown to be sin by effecting my death through that which is good, that through the commandment sin might become utterly sinful." So the problem is not with the law. The problem was with the Jew, and that's what Paul wanted them to see. The problem was with all men. Everyone's mouth is shut before God. There is none righteous in His sight. The problem is with us. We are born sinners, and we cannot save ourselves, no matter how good we might think we are. The law does not put the sin in our hearts. The law simply shows us that the sin is there, so that it might drive us to Christ. Again, listen to what Paul says in Galatians 3, 22 and 24. "But the Scripture has shut up all men under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, so that we might be justified by faith." Now, I believe that this passage of Scripture gives to us some basic principles about how to use the law of God, and of course, how not to use it. First of all, it warns us that we should not try to save ourselves by the keeping of the law. The fact that it reveals our problem, the fact that it reveals our sin, does not mean that it provides a solution for the sin. The CT scan, the CAT scan, can show the problem that's inside your body, but it can't heal that problem. You have to go somewhere else to get healed from it. And in the same way, studying the law of God, knowing what the law of God means, trying to keep that law, will not save you. The reason being is it can't give you the power to keep it. It also can't take away your guilt for already having broken it so many times. The law shows you your problem. It shows you the need of Christ. Listen to what David wrote in Psalm 143:2. He says, "And do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no man living is righteous." Paul says, through one transgression there resulted condemnation to all men. There is none righteous, not even one. All have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. We cannot save ourselves. We need to look outside of ourselves, so don't look to the law for your salvation. It can't save you. The reason why it can't save you is because you are not able to keep the law of God. And even if you were, you wouldn't be able to get rid of all the guilt that clings to you from Adam's sin and from all of your sins. Well, secondly, it should teach us to use it in the right way, which is to let it become our tutor to drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, it points out our sin, it reveals the problem, but the reason why it does it is so that we would run away from that and from God's wrath that is threatened for the breaking of the law. Remember, cursed is everyone who does not continue in the law to keep it, the whole law. If you break it at any one point, you become guilty of all. And if you do, you're under God's curse. It's meant to scare you, to strike fear into your heart, so that you will flee from God's wrath to the Savior who alone is able to save you. And so we should let the law have its work. Admit that we have the problem, the sin problem, and let it drive us to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we might be saved. We need to remember that we cannot hide anything from God. God knows absolutely everything that we've done that's wrong. He knows every bad action that we've done. He knows every bad thought that we've had, every bad word that we've spoken, every sinful word, every sinful intent of our heart. God knows it all. The Lord Jesus Christ says that on the day of judgment, even every idle word that has been spoken will be brought up in judgment against those who have not run for refuge in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot hide our sins. Even, you know, the unregenerate man, the unbeliever who buries the knowledge of God, he's not going to do himself any good at all. Because even though he puts it out of his mind, he doesn't put it out of existence. God still is there. God is still threatening judgment. And God is going to execute that judgment someday unless we repent. So first of all, we should let the law of God close our mouths. And we should let it do that willingly, because one day the law is going to shut the mouth of the unbeliever. But the Bible says that if the law will close your mouth now in humility, so that you run to Jesus Christ, you will be saved. So there's two different ways the law can work. One day it's going to close your mouth if you don't humble yourself. But if you humble yourself and run to the Savior, then it will be saving for you. Now, if there's anyone here this morning where that is the case with you, where you haven't run to Jesus Christ, let the law of God have its work. Meditate upon that law. Let it convict you and show you your sin so that you might come to the Savior and escape the wrath of God. Don't continue to try to make yourself good enough. You're never going to be good enough. The law shows you that. It shows you you can't. And even if you could, from this point on, which you cannot, there's no way, you would not be able to get rid of that load of sin. Christ is the only way, and you must trust in Him. But for those of us who do know the Savior, we need to remember again, that doesn't mean that the law now is useless for us. As a matter of fact, it is very useful, because it still shows us what sin is. It shows us what God loves and what God hates. And we know that God saved us in order that we might become like Jesus. Jesus who kept the law of God perfectly. So for us, the law of God, having become a tutor to drive us to Jesus Christ, now becomes our tutor to teach us how to live in a way that's pleasing to God. We don't look to the law for our salvation. We don't say, I'm going to keep the law in order to justify myself. But we say, thank you, Lord, for saving me through Jesus. Thank you that He kept it perfectly and that You've given that to me as a free gift. Now, I want to be like Him. I want to honor You. I want to serve You. I want to glorify You. Show me how. Jesus says, look at the law. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so we look to the law of God in order to teach us how to live a godly life. We look to the law of God to search into our hearts and to find that corruption that is still there so that it might continually drive us to the Savior to cleanse us of that sin and to give us the strength to overcome that sin. So the law of God is a tutor in two ways, to point us to Jesus for our salvation, but also to teach us how to love Him, how to serve Him, and how to glorify Him. Let us not look to the law of God for our salvation, but instead let us look to Christ, who alone has kept that law in a way that is acceptable to God. Let us look to Jesus for our righteousness, for our salvation, and let us look to Jesus for our strength to obey the Lord and to glorify Him and to please Him now, having come to Christ. Well, there's a lot of different applications here, and this really only the Spirit of God knows the application that we need to hear this morning. So let's bow in a moment of silent prayer and ask the Lord to apply that word to our hearts as we need to hear it.